Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. This is the word of the Lord for us.
When you hear the word ambassador, you probably think of someone very polished, very professional, probably wearing a suit, probably knows French, definitely knows how to eat soup without slurping. And now just imagine that instead of that person, there's you. With the coffee stain and the keys that sometimes end up in the refrigerator and the Bible verse that's like, yeah, I got the general idea, I got half of it. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we just heard this in the scripture reading that Alicia did. It said that we are Christ's what? Ambassadors. And if you're like, huh, me? Me? Every time I eat soup, you don't even want to hear what it sounds like. I don't know how to speak French. Well, this is the sobering reality. We are the official representatives of Jesus on earth. And if that makes you feel unqualified or even a little bit nervous, good. Welcome to the club. I'm glad you're here. Because it isn't based on our perfection. It's based on his perfection. And so, here's the good news. God does send us out as his ambassadors in the world. Yes, absolutely. But we're not those polished diplomats with all of the answers. We are simply forgiven sinners who have a testimony. We have a story of God's grace at work in our lives. That testimony really, I would say, using the ambassador theme, is sort of our badge. It's sort of what indicates that we are that ambassador. It's who we are. It shows who we represent. Ambassadors for Christ. That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So again, just thrilled that you're with us this morning to worship, to study God's word. Excited about all God is doing in our church, in our community, and beyond. My name is John. I serve as lead pastor. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow even stronger in the Lord. We're studying 2 Corinthians. We've completed 1 Corinthians. We're now in 2 Corinthians. Now, one of the major themes in the book of 2 Corinthians is that although we are weak, through Christ, we are made strong. And so this morning, as we talk about being an ambassador for Christ, we are to simply relay, and this is what an ambassador does, the message from our leader, from our king, to simply relay the message, humanity can be reconciled to God. Well, good news. And just think about it. So I know someone said this recently, that something to this effect from the pulpit, that like, you might be the only ambassador sent to that person. You might be the only ambassador that person meets. You don't need a podium and a microphone. You don't even need a passport. You just need a willing heart. Just need to share your story. And again, you don't have to be perfect and polished. You just have to be present. Show up. Be available. And yes, and this is a major point of encouragement for each of us today. Willing to share your story. So the title of this morning's sermon is Testimony. We all have one, willing to share your story. How has the Lord rescued you from a certain eternity in the flames of hell? How has the Lord blessed you? How has his kindness led you to repentance? How is it that you now have the hope of heaven based on what Jesus has done? And listen, it doesn't have to be drastic. It doesn't have to be dramatic. I've chastised you before when I've said, don't tell me you don't have a good testimony. Don't tell me you don't have a good testimony. That's your testimony. That's your story. Doesn't have to be like the person next to you or the person you saw their video on YouTube. It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't even have to be loud. I've heard it said that a quiet testimony can be louder than 1,000 sermons. A quiet testimony can be louder than 1,000 sermons. But yes, being able to share our testimony is essential in fulfilling our mission to share. Well, we really can't go any further unless we share. To share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, but I'm not really into evangelism. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, that's just not my gift. That's just not my bag. That's not really my thing. Like, isn't that someone else's job? Or even, well, I mean, wouldn't that be quite pretentious of me to think that I should convince someone else to believe like me? Like, isn't that a little presuming and condescending? Okay, interesting take. Evangelism isn't your thing. That's not your gift. Who are you to tell someone else what to believe? Let's consider for a moment, and yes, we're going to study 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but let's consider for a moment the end of the story in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. This is the end of the age. This is this great cosmic battle between good and evil. And Satan, he's described there as a dragon in Revelation 12, is hurled down to the earth. His evil hordes, demons, minions are with him. He is designed and built for, and his nature is to steal, to kill, to destroy. He's the father of lies. It says right there in verse 9, Revelation chapter 12, that he leads the whole world astray. But for believers, they're not led, true believers, they're not led astray. And here's what it says in verse 11, they overcame him, that is Satan, the devil, the dragon, the evil one, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We will not overcome without the blood of Christ poured over us. And by the word of their what? This is a spiritual battle. And the Lord is looking for warriors to join in the fight. You cannot read Revelation, by the way. It's the end of the story. Without warfare, bloodshed, and battle. And we will not have salvation. There is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood. He is the perfect atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's what makes a way for us to be at one with the Lord. But we see here very clearly that for the overcomer, for the one who endures and gets paradise, gets that second Eden with the Lord forever, the overcomer has a testimony. I won't go into it in too much detail, but if you do a really thorough study there, you'll see the special blessings that are poured out on the martyrs, the ultimate witnesses who give their lives for the cause of the kingdom. So we are ambassadors for Christ. It's at once thrilling, like enthralling, exciting, but also terrifying and daunting. And so you are not alone if you're here this morning and you're like, I don't know how I could do that. I don't know if I should do that. I don't know when and where and how that's all going to go down. But you have a testimony, and the Lord wants to use you as an ambassador. So, hope you brought a Bible with you this morning. Let's open up to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading from the NIV. We're going to study this whole chapter together this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, he's teaching and preaching this in light of those things that are coming at the end of the age. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So I'd like to stop there just for a moment. He begins this teaching with this idea of the tent, the earthly, fleshly dwelling that we're given. And so the imagery that's used there, by the way, Paul would have been well acquainted with tents. That was his profession. He was a tent maker. He compares our bodies to tents. For some of you, maybe that's not very flattering. They're flimsy. They're saggy. They leak when it rains, right? I don't know if you've ever camped in the rain, been inside of a tent, but you start to hear those drips, and all of a sudden it's like, the tent and the camping, it goes from this is really good until it's not. Sometimes tents have bad smells and they don't stand up under pressure and you can't. Has anyone else, by the way, we have this big family tent that we use about once a year, and it has a black carrying bag, and every time we use it, I get it out of the bag, but then when I fold it up, it's like, it won't go back in the bag. Like, how is this going to fit inside of this bag? In fact, the Reisner family was away on vacation recently. We did a beach vacation to North Carolina, all 11 of us. And when we do a beach vacation, we love beach vacations. It's our favorite thing to do. We love going to the beach. And when we go to the beach, like, we go to the beach. We make it an all-day affair. So we load up, we pack up, everything but the kitchen sink, right? I mean, we're taking the toys and the games. We're taking the chairs. We're taking along coolers with drinks and sandwiches. We're taking books to read, like, and all the beach paraphernalia. So we have a canopy. This is lightweight, provides a little bit of shade. So it's a sort of a tent that you set up on the beach. Because inevitably, you're going to want a little bit of shade at some point. You know, the baby or the papa is going to want to sit in the shade so he doesn't get sunburned. So we took the tent along. We were doing our beach vacation. Again, we've got all the stuff, all the people, all the things. And like one day in particular, it was really, really windy, and it was just whipping through right where our family was, coming from the backside. And whatever we did to prop up the tent, like you could sit, you know, a few people in chairs right at the poles of the tent, like you could get up. But inevitably, like as soon as you got up, the tent just collapsed. We could not keep the tent upright. It just kept falling down. In fact, at the end of the day, there was a family member, one who shall not be named, and it was nap time. And the person had gone in the tent, and then the tent had collapsed. You could just see legs sticking out of the tent. So, we understand what it is to have a tent that you'd like to be using. This could be very helpful, but under this wind, it's just not holding up. By the way, do you know why dolphins don't play volleyball? They would, it's just they're afraid of the nets. What Paul is teaching, as we start this, verse 1 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The body we have, this side of eternity, the flesh in which we now reside, is a tent. Temporary. You haul it with you to the beach and set it up hoping for a little shade, but even then it gets blown over. It's frustrating. It's falling apart, right? Anyone over the age of 40 should say amen to that, right? Did anyone else notice that? You hit age 40 and all of a sudden your knees start making noises. You're like, am I okay? What just happened there? But thank the Lord that the tent that we currently reside in, this temporary dwelling that sags and falls and falters and it becomes frustrating, isn't our permanent home. So as we talk about this good news that we're called to be witnesses and to share our testimony because we are ambassadors for Christ, I want to point out three reasons why we should share our testimony. And the first is that we have a home in heaven. That's the first reason that we should share the hope that is within us. We have an eternal, to quote the scriptures here, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. And what that does is it gives us courage and resolve in every season of life. Maybe even especially in times where we are faltering and frustrated, seasons that are difficult and dark and challenging. Not because we enjoy agony or pain or suffering or grief, no, but because we know it's not the end. We know it's not the end. So for an ambassador who's serving in that diplomatic function, they don't live in their home country. They go abroad, but they don't ever forget where they're from. So I read a story about a man named George Shultz. You may remember him back from like the Reagan era. He was Secretary of State. He kept a really large globe in his office, and when he appointed ambassadors, these newly appointed ambassadors, he would test them with the globe. He'd give it a big spin, and then he would say, "Show me your country." So they were to point out on the map, you know, the country to which they were being sent. But one man, a guy by the name of Mike Mansfield, he was being appointed as ambassador to Japan, and he puts his finger right on the good old US of A, and he says, "That's my country." And Shultz really liked that. He was tickled by that. No one had done that before. And he said, "That's right, you should never forget who you're representing." And that struck me as I read that this week. I thought, boy, that's a great word for me. And I want to share that with us. Never forget who you're representing. We go as people sent. I mean, the church is the church gathered, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. For an hour or two on Sunday mornings, we are the church gathered, sharpening one another, worshiping together in a powerful way. But we are the church sent on mission. But we should never forget who we're representing. We should never forget where our true home is. And it's not in your house. It's not in this community. It's in heaven. Our home is in heaven. Let's keep reading it together. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, picking it back up at verse 11. "Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others." What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. For if we are out of our mind, as some say, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you, for Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. See, here's where the mission kicks in, the being sent. The ambassador knows from where they are sent. They know their identity. They are rooted in that. They know who they represent. And at the same time, a good ambassador understands the place to which they're going as well. We saw there in verse 14, Christ's love compels us. But I want to be cautious here. The last thing I want is for any of us to get this sense of, I have to share the good news of Jesus. No, you get to share the good news of Jesus. It's not this dutiful obligation. I have to go to the dentist. I have to tell my neighbor about Christ. No, it's a wonderful and blessed joy. It's a privilege. It's an honor. We're compelled by love, by our love for others, not by guilt, not by, oh, I'm not a very good Christian because I didn't talk about Jesus. It's not an obligation. And it's certainly not, this is where we sometimes have to be cautious, a spiritual notch in the belt. You know, like we talked about this a few weeks ago when we were in 1 Corinthians 13. What is our motivation? We must be motivated by love. It's love that drives us to represent Christ, to share our testimony in a way that's loving, in a way that's compassionate. Because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so we're going to tell others about it. We've been commissioned by Christ. Therefore, and this is our second thing I want to remind us of, teach us about today, that we have a mission on earth. We have a home in heaven. We have a mission on earth. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a mission. And your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to make disciples. It's to shine brightly in the place that Christ has put you. Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus imploring his disciples, imploring all of us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. I'm thrilled that we have baptisms coming up here in a couple of weeks. We have two young men that are ready to take that step in their faith. If that's something you haven't done, please consider walking in obedience to Christ in that way. I'm just struck this morning by the reality of how is my testimony and witness to an unbeliever? How am I to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when I myself have not taken that step? I think we're going to be limited in our ability to do that. So please consider that. Out of obedience to Christ, out of your love for him, growing and walking with him. We have a mission here on earth, and it's to make disciples. It's to go to all the nations, to baptize them, to teach them to obey everything the Lord Jesus has commanded. And as I said a moment ago, the role of the ambassador does require, this is a really sweet, important component, a knowledge of the culture to which he or she is going. So the ambassador doesn't just go in blind and say, I know nothing of you people, your culture, your language. They must strive to understand the ways and the people, the customs of the place to which they're going. And in the same way, as ambassadors for Christ, we too must be keen and aware of what's happening in the world around us. Not so we conform to it, right? That's the double-edged sword, isn't it? That's the double-edged sword. And maybe we've had friends or family who say, well, I'm just going out as a light for Jesus. Really, are you sure that's where you want to go? Are you really sure that's who you want to date? And pretty soon, they've joined the dark side. So there's a two-edged sword there, right? We must understand the culture. Why? So that we can speak into it. So that we can lovingly, effectively communicate the message of the gospel in a way that's relatable, understandable, relevant. But again, I think if we're being honest this morning, like it can be awkward at times to talk about Jesus, to bring our faith into it. And I would just say this. This is not a how-to on evangelism. I know we've had teaching like that, and it's powerful, and some of us have even continued to do some of those practices that we were taught even years ago. I'll just say this. When your focus is on yourself, well, I'm a little shy, and I'm not sure how this is going to be received, so I have this fear of rejection, and I have this embarrassment, then that's going to keep me silent. The focus is on myself. But when we focus on Christ and his goodness and the salvation, the hope of heaven, why, then we're eager. We can't wait. We've just discovered something amazing and fascinating and life-giving, so you can't wait to share what God has done, even in your own life. And no one can dispute that. You can have people say they don't agree, they don't believe the same way you do. That's fine. But they can't dispute your story, your testimony. So if you focus on Christ, that's the right place to focus, and he uses you mightily. If your focus is in the wrong place, which is on yourself, oftentimes that will silence you. In fact, Paul does have some teaching on this in the book of Colossians. Let's turn there to Colossians chapter 4. Verses 2 through 6, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. And he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity, and let your conversation be always, not some of the time, not on Sundays, not when you're with your church friends, always let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. God is appealing to the world through you. He has you in your workplace for a reason. He has you in your school for a purpose, to shine for him. He has placed you there. He's the one who put you in your neighborhood. He's the one who directed you to that gym where you work out, or to the supermarket in which you shop, or placed you on your sports team. And God, what good news. God chooses broken people to carry this beautiful message of hope to the world. So you heard me right. Let me just reiterate. You. Y-O-U. You are God's mouthpiece. You are Christ's ambassador. The message doesn't have to come through a megaphone. I think I've already said that, right? That a quiet testimony can be louder than 1,000 sermons. And many times it comes through a simple friendship, acts of kindness and serving, loving someone, caring for someone, helping someone, sharing about your faith and your walk, the hope that you've found in Christ. I mean, I pray that God does this transformation in our hearts and minds where we recognize this message is too good not to share. Because it has forever changed us. We'll never be the same since we met Jesus and have the hope of salvation. So let's pick it back up. I want to read through the rest of this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're at verse 16. So from now on, Paul writes, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here, and all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And verse 21, God made him who had no sin, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God gave us this ministry. Paul calls it the ministry of reconciliation, this wonderful good news that God is reconciling the world to himself. And this urging, this pleading, be reconciled to God. We didn't apply for this ministry, did we? We didn't necessarily ask for it. We certainly didn't earn it. We've been handed this ministry along with grace and wisdom, and his Holy Spirit that will guide us and help us. In the world of diplomacy, again, the ambassador often plays this crucial role in resolving conflicts, like helping to resolve peace between nations. That's exactly what we're called to do with this ministry of reconciliation. We're called to be peacemakers, helping people reconcile with God and, yes, with one another. So why should we share a testimony? Because we have a home in heaven. Because we have a mission on earth, and because we have a new identity in Christ. A new identity. I just think, how sad. Some of us are walking through life like we're trying to earn the right to be loved. And brother, sister, I want you to know, you are loved. You cannot even fathom, measure, comprehend the love of God. How deep, how wide. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he rescues you from the flames of hell. You don't have to earn that. You just then live in simple, grateful response to it. We were all bound for an eternity, separated from God. When we turn to the Lord Jesus, he rescues us. He brings us out of, again, using the language of Paul, out of the darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and into the kingdom of the Son, the light. And this new identity in Christ, like, this is not just self-improvement. This is not just like the bottle of hair dye and a month-long diet. Hey, I'm a new me. No, this is something that God does. It says that in verse 18. Look there again. All this is from God. And also, by the way, all this is for God. So when people look at us, yes, they should see something different. A peace that just doesn't make sense. A hope that is completely unfading and unflappable. A joy that is based on more than just Taco Tuesday. Although Taco Tuesday helps. But an enduring resiliency, pressing on, come what may. Again, even thinking about the ultimate witnesses who give their lives for the sake of the gospel. Why? Because we represent a different kingdom. This isn't our home. Our home is in heaven. And so that means we live differently. If we're going to represent Jesus well, we must know him. We must live life in communion, in relationship with him. Otherwise, we're really just kind of peddling a message that we ourselves don't understand, that we've not experienced ourselves. It's because of Christ that we are forgiven. We've been adopted into his wonderful family. We are empowered. Yes, we are loved. That's the basis for our ambassadorship. We don't operate out of guilt. And again, that's what I want to guard against this morning, is any one of us saying, well, I really should be talking about Jesus more. I'm really feeling badly that I don't do that enough. That's what I want to guard against. This ambassadorship flows out of being a child of the King. Receiving an inheritance that we did nothing to earn, but just living in grateful response to all he's done for us. We're not operating out of guilt. We're operating out of grace. And yes, the scriptures urge us to proclaim his goodness. Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Or another translation, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And I want to say, maybe the first step for someone is simply to erase complaining, because you notice there that it is to be with thankful hearts. Maybe that's the first step, is a person who says, I didn't realize that my grumping and complaining and sour attitude was keeping people from the truth of the gospel. Because the citizen of heaven, the one who says, my home is not this earth, we don't sweat the small stuff. We see the bigger picture. So maybe take an audit. How seasoned is your speech? Because the standard is always to lift up gratitude and thanks. So maybe that's the first step for someone here this morning. I'm going to erase complaining from my life. I'm going to replace it with gratitude. Another step maybe someone here who says, I really don't know my story. If you would say, tell me your testimony, I don't know what to say. Well, that's a great place to start is, what is my story? What has Christ done for me? Who did I used to be versus who am I now that I know Jesus? Where was I headed before versus now? Where is my hope, my certainty for eternity spent with it? What has the Lord done for me? How has he transformed me? Knowing our story might be a really important step to take. What is it that I'm being urged to share? What is my testimony? And maybe as a third step, or maybe for someone else, a step to take is to pray a very dangerous prayer. And that dangerous prayer is to say, Lord, burden my heart for those who are lost. Because when that burden is on your heart, you start to view people differently. Like verse 16, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. You begin to view people differently. And instead of complaining about them or cutting them down or tearing them down, whether it's someone you see interpersonally or whether it's someone you see on the television, you begin to pray for them. You begin to love them. You begin to pursue people and bless people. Why? Because you've got a mission. I'm about making disciples because that's what Jesus calls us to do because of this great news that we've been reconciled to God. I'll just say this. The world needs ambassadors like that. Christ's kingdom needs men and women, boys and girls, young and old, to go forth boldly with this new identity of, I've been transformed. I'm in the kingdom of Christ, the Messiah. I am certain about my eternity spent with him, and I'm going to share that good news with others. This earthly tent may never stop faltering and flapping, but you are an ambassador for the King of Kings. You might never be appointed by the UN, you might never wear a tuxedo, but you've got your assignment. So I urge all of us this morning, in light of this, to live like this world is not our home. To speak like Jesus is still changing lives. To walk in a way like, I've been reconciled. I know my Maker. I'm loved by him because you are. You are loved by an almighty God. And I want you to know our prayer team is going to be available after the service this morning. Any burden, anything that's keeping you from the Lord, we would love to walk with you. Go with you before God's throne of grace to lift you up in prayer and encourage your heart today. He wants to send you out to be a representative, an ambassador for him. And that's when you're scrolling social media, that's when you're walking your dog, that's when you're at sports practice, that's when you're at your place of work, that's when you're at your family reunion. You are an ambassador for Christ in all the places where he sends you. You represent the King, and he is still in the business of drawing people to himself. We pray that he would continue to do that. And we pray that dangerous prayer that he would burden our hearts for those who are lost. In fact, let's pray together now this morning. Lord, in light of your word, these great and wonderful truths about being reconciled to you, O God, we pray that you would burden our hearts with those who don't know you and who are still headed for an eternity separated from you. Lord, help us to love them, to pursue them, to bless them, to be gracious, to be kind and patient, because we know it's your kindness, O God, that leads us to repentance. Lord, would you forgive us for the times we've criticized and attacked and pointed fingers and cast blame, for the times we've been argumentative, for the times where we've drawn lines in the sand that are not of you? Would you lead us to walk in obedience to you, Lord? Would you send us your Holy Spirit to convict us and lead us into that life, whether that means erasing complaining from our lives or taking that step in entering the waters of baptism? Lord, we avail ourselves to you that your word, your truth, lays bare our hearts before you. what we are is plain to God. And Lord, there's no place else we'd rather be than before you and seen by you, because we know that you are able. So Lord, would you take all these things, seal them, guarantee them by your Holy Spirit, and empower us to live them out for your glory and for your kingdom as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray all these things. Amen.